Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Donna W. and I'm a recovered compulsive eater. Today is Tuesday, September 20th. Today we are reading from the big book and we're at page 29, the second paragraph, each individual in the personal stories and finishing with happening in their lives. Today's readers are, we have Kathy B. for the 12 Steps and Rhonda R. for the 12 Traditions, Stephanie L. for the Big Book Passage, Reggie O. for A Vision for You, and Kara L. for Backup. We also have Jody E. as the newcomer greeter and Betsy H. is doing announcements. The reference numbers for Monday, September 19th at 10 a.m. Eastern Time is 19422. And Tuesday, September 20th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 19424. And let me just repeat, both of those, Monday is 19422, and then today is 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 19424. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. I had a vision for you big book study. Our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I now ask Kathy B. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning. My name is Kathy B. I live in Oklahoma, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And these are the 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service this morning. I pass.
Thank you, Kathy B. Next up is Rhonda R.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service, Donna. This is Rhonda R., grateful in Georgia. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, Vicariate's message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group never endorsed, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to do service today. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Books of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive eaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 29, second paragraph, starting with each individual in the personal stories and ending with happened in their lives. I now ask Stephanie L. to please read and comment on that passage.
Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Each individual in the personal stories describes in his own language and from his own point of view the way he established his relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and a clear-cut idea of what has actually happened in their lives. And yesterday we read that previous paragraph, which talked about, you know, those first pages in the book that give us those clear-cut directions. And then in the back of the book, you know, the personal stories, and I thought I understood what the personal stories were about. Yeah. You know, they're kind of sharing how they work the steps, and, you know, some of the stories are worse than others. You know, I think they're broken down into 3 categories, and, you know, these are these personal experiences, you know, great, fine, and dandy. But what I never really got, and it says it all over our book, and I don't know why I never got this until this recovery, it's how they established a relationship with God. You know, every story talks about, and call it whatever you want to call it, you know, like I choose to call my higher power God, but our higher powers can all be different. It doesn't have to be the same, but each of the stories tells us how that person, who in some cases was completely hopeless, in other cases, you know, they were just getting started, right? Because they're broken down into those categories, but how that person worked these steps and found their personal relationship with power, right, with God, that changed their lives. And I know that's my experience. You know, no wonder it took me so freaking long to get, you know, this amazing miracle, because I never understood, I never completely got in my heart of hearts that I needed this power to change my life. And, you know, my sponsor and spiritual teachers of mine always say, you know, God is the hero of the story. And really in those personal stories, God is the hero, or higher power is the hero. You know, that power has transformed, you know, my life. I'm not sitting here hungover because I binged all night, or wishing I was dead because my body is 110 pounds bigger than it was, you know, a few months ago, a year ago, whatever. And that's all through working these steps and finding this relationship. And, you know, it, again, it doesn't have to look like, I have lots of women in this program that I surround myself with who, you know, are spiritual, and their spirituality is different than my spirituality. And that's okay. It says here that, you know, it can be whatever each of us, you know, we can choose our own conception. And, you know, I'm just so grateful for this program. I'm grateful for this meeting. I'm grateful for all of you. And thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Stephanie L. Now we'll take a lineup of folks who want to comment on this section. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share today?
Donna B.
Laura W.
Donna B. Is that Laura W?
Elaine G.
Yeah. Elaine G.
Carla C.
Was it Carla?
Yeah.
Carla C.
Debbie P.
Debbie P. Okay, let's pause there. So I have Donna B., Laura W., Elaine G., Carla C., and Debbie P. And when you share, please share where you're calling from so folks can find you on the members list. We'll start with Donna B., followed by Laura W., please.
Good morning. This is Donna B. from Denver, Colorado, spelled D-A-N-A, unlike you, Donna. So thank you for your service and for everyone who's on the call today. You know, I like to say that there is nothing that precludes me from working every single step, even as I'm uncertain about my concept and relationship with God. That the action of a step work is available to me even without having a clear, absolute concept or definition of God. There's a place for me to be uncertain about what God is. There's a place for me to be comfortable with God being a mystery. I love the reminder that God could and would if he were sought. So even as I openly acknowledge my uncertainty about what God is, by doing the step work, by following the directions, by living in 10, 11, and 12, my life is bound by the seeking of God's will for me, seeking the experience of God working in my life. So if I were to tell my story, I don't know that I would personally focus on the relationship that I have with a higher power. I would probably focus more on the actions that I'm willing to take and the commitment I have to prayer and meditation and doing step 10 and reaching out to my fellows and being in the middle of the herd. There are ways that I can sincerely act as if I am being driven by the presence and the will of God. even as I'm uncertain about what God is. And I continue to seek. And in my prayers, I ask that God reveal to me who or what he is to the extent that I can understand and process. I really admire people who talk about a God that they are certain loves them, cares about them, and supports them, and has their back. And although that isn't my experience, I'm here. I'm entirely sober and abstinent and deeply grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Donna B. Next up, we have Laura W., followed by Elaine G. Go ahead, Laura.
Thanks, Donna. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, you know what? What I was reminded of today, I've been told over and over that reading the big book is going to give me knowledge, but living the big book is going to give me freedom. And each individual in the personal stories, it says, describes from his own point of view the way he established his relationship with God. It doesn't say how he got sober. It doesn't say how we stopped eating compulsively and starving and binging and purging. It says how we established a relationship with power, God. And for me, when I tell people about the fact that I no longer purge through exercise and I no longer obsess about food, weight, and how many calories I've burned today, they often say, well, how did you do that? And I tell them about the freedom that I found through the 12 steps. And I don't necessarily start with God. I start with the freedom. And how did I get freedom? I got freedom through surrender. And I surrendered to what? I didn't surrender to the food. I didn't surrender to not even to the 12 steps. I surrendered to a power greater than myself. Once I saw that this worked in others and I was able to just give it a try because nothing else worked, then I'm able to see that, well, yeah, if nothing changes, nothing changes. I need to do something different. And even though I had a God in my life since I was a child, it was not a personal God like this talks about. It's you know, it's a personal God. It's a personal higher power. Call it whatever you want. Call it the love of the group. Call it call it the power of the steps. Call it the, you know, the sunset that we see outside. It just can't be us, because this illness for me is so selfish and so self-centered and ego-driven that when I say, no, I've got this, I'm screwed. You know, I'm back to where I was. And and that's what the steps are for, to remind me on a daily basis that I need to do the work to stay out of the selfishness, to stay out of me. So every time that, you know, I speak to somebody on the phone, every time I send a text or an email or even ask my husband, hey, tell me about your day, that's God. That's not me. The old me would be like, let me tell you about my day, you know? So again, it's great that these stories are here, but it's really here to remind me, number one, that I'm not alone, and number two, I can't do this without my higher power. And if and when I try to do it, I'm in trouble. I'm back to where I was. So I'm grateful for that reminder today, and I'm grateful that I'm not alone, and that just for today, I can live as unselfishly as I can with God driving the car. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. Next up is Elaine G., followed by Carla C.
This is Elaine G. from New York, and I'm very grateful to be here. I feel a lot of gratitude here today. I feel great today, actually, probably because I'm starting to accept things. And, you know, without God's help, I really don't accept anything, you know? I mean, like, I know before I came in the program, I thought doing my way was fine, you know, until it affected my stomach. Then I had to go to a gastroenterologist, and I really didn't know. I just thought, all right, I'll just go the way I'm going. It's helping eating. Eating's helping, so things don't seem so hard. When I came in the program, that's when I started learning. The program helped me to learn that doing my way, I get nowhere but destruction. No. Anyway, I was really destructing my body, really, totally, completely, physical, mentally. And all I know is that I read meditation yesterday that kind of stuck with me. On September 19th, Voices of Recovery, about seeing things differently, you know? My sponsor wanted me to read that because she says a lot of times you do things over and over and over. And then, you know, like I said to myself, yeah. And how come the same thing happens and I get hurt or I'm a victim, you know? So I got to pray to God to help me change, see things differently. When I wake up in the morning, when I do my prayers and I pray for my family, my friends, OA, this, that, I ask God to help me be willing to do the things I need to do today. Not what things I want to do. I could do that after I do all the things I need to do. No. When my disease gets in the way, I have to start praying. Oh, God, I have to really start praying. Training hard, you know. Call someone. Work my tools and my steps. Or else I'm in trouble. Anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you, Elaine G. Next up is Carla C., followed by Debbie P.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for 12-stepping me today. This is a great meeting, and I love it. I'm a recovered today by the grace of God, my higher power, and, you know, my higher power is the hero of my story, and I was told to write in my big book that I will never get my way again. And I'm just so grateful for that because my way doesn't work. And I'm willing to go to any length today for my recovery. And every morning I say the put aside prayer. God help me put aside everything that I think I know about myself and this big book and the disease and my spiritual path, you know, for a new open mind and this new experience, and it really works. I just love this program. It works, and work at it because we're worth it, because I see myself differently today. I see myself through God's eyes and everyone else, and I'm just so grateful. Thanks for letting me share, Carla in California.
Thank you, Carla in California. Next up is Debbie P., and then we'll take a new lineup. And just a quick reminder, we are on page 29, the second paragraph, starting with each individual and finishing with, ending with happening and happened in their lives. Go ahead, Debbie P.
Good morning. This is Debbie P., and I'm calling from Indiana. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. This paragraph reminds me that I'm not alone. I guess that's where I want to start with this. And, you know, for many years, I've had this compulsion of control. So I would not allow a higher power. I couldn't even fathom that there was a higher power that was going to take care of me in any way, shape, or form, and especially not food, because even babies know when they're full, right? So, you know, why was this such a problem for me? But, you know, over time and continuing to come back and, you know, listening to other people's stories, I think I've only read one of the stories in the back of the book and bits and pieces from others, mainly because they've been quoted in meetings. And I think I'm going to, first of all, I'm going to set myself a goal to read those stories. But secondly, if it wasn't for other people's stories, sharing on meetings like this or in-person meetings or any of the literature that I read, I wouldn't know that I'm not alone. I wouldn't understand what it is that I need to do to get out of that vicious cycle of compulsion, whether it's for control or the food or excitement or what other compulsive behavior that I'm trapped in at that moment. And by hearing other people, it does set me free. I heard that on a share earlier, you know, that freedom of relying on my higher power. I don't have to do it. I don't have to be in control. It's not about me anymore. It's about what is my higher power's will for me. I don't always see that, so I don't always do that. However, I do it more today. I do see my higher power's will for me today so much more than I ever have. And it's because I've cleared myself out using these steps. I've cleared my insides. I've made myself vulnerable in a lot of situations so that I can see my higher power's will. And I'm much nicer to other people, and especially my husband. And I feel happier. I can feel that joy from time to time. I don't feel it every day. I don't feel it every moment, but I do feel joy a lot of the time today that I did not feel before. I want to thank every one of you for your shares to help me to get to the next step, the next thing that I need to do to make my program better. But I have to reach out to you all, and I have to hear you all in order for me to do the next right thing. So hope that made sense. And thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Debbie P. Next up, we'll take more names. And remember, if you have shared on Friday or Monday, then please hold back and let others jump in. And if you've never shared, then please jump in today. Please share your name and your first initial of your last name.
Nancy L.
Nancy L.
Jordan L.
I'm going to put my Jordan L. And I'm going to put myself in there after Jordan.
Reva K. from California.
Reva K. All right, let's start with Nancy L., followed by Jordan L. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, this is Nancy L. in Southern California. I'm gratefully recovered for today, and I just wanted to share that after I did the 12 steps, I was so amped and excited. I wanted more. So I decided to read the stories in the back, and I decided to try to identify with them, even though they were alcoholics and they had different stories than mine. I tried to see where I could identify with them, and it was so, almost every single one, I highlighted them in the book just like I did the rest of the book and got so much information out of them. Not only did I not feel alone, but just some of the ideas and the concepts and experience they had really helped me relate and really made it stronger and really kind of propelled my next step forward. So I just wanted to share that, and thank you for letting me share. Have a beautiful day, and I pass.
Thank you, Nancy L. Next up is Jordan L., followed by Donna W.
Hey, good morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you for moderating for us this morning, Donna. And I'm grateful to be absent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. So I was an alcoholic and got sober using the big book and the 12 steps before I got abstinent. And that first sponsor in AA explained to me that the personal stories, I could read the personal stories as a means of relating in and understanding if I was an alcoholic. use them for identification with step two, or I'm sorry, with step one. And to be real honest, that was difficult because I was 20 years old when I got sober. I was an alcoholic who had never had a legal drink. and so some of the stories in the back, some of them were pretty intense, but there's some sections that have been added in future volumes and future editions that are more relatable for alcoholics with higher bottoms or young people that haven't necessarily acquired all of the things in the first place that some alcoholics who are farther along talk about losing, you know, like spouses and families and houses and cars and all that. So anyway, that's what I thought they were for. But it's interesting, like reading this paragraph here, I mean, that's not really the case, right? Like this paragraph is actually talking about them being a means of relating in to step two, or to the space in between step one and two, if you would. Talking about how it is that these alcoholics have established a relationship with God, which is pretty bizarre. Like, those are bizarre words to say, right? let's learn how the alcoholic has established a relationship with God. that's some pretty bizarre stuff that really doesn't get discussed anywhere else in this modern world of ours besides here in 12-step programs and in Overeaters Anonymous. I just want to say that I had my own reservations about establishing a personal relationship with the God of my understanding. so I'm really glad that there were people on this line willing to share about their experience, so that I could I could find that for myself. I had those guides. So thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. Next up is me, Donna W. in California. Well, I'm really grateful for my abstinence and my recovery today and to be of service. And, you know, I can't tell you how many years I read this book before I saw that. And it's probably a few years after being part of a vision for you to see that, as others have shared, you know, that how they established their relationships with God. And I'm like, really? That's what the stories are about? I thought they were about people putting down the alcohol. And, you know, I would also say for myself, I focused for many years in program. Probably in a few weeks, will be my 20th OA birthday. And for many years, I focused my program on, you know, putting down the food and taking off the weight. And really, it was just probably 2 years ago when I was doing the steps that I was like, oh, this is about turning my life and my will, not just my food and my food over to God. It's turning my entire life over to God. So, you know, I'm one of the sometimes slowly folks, but I'm slowly getting that I really am not running the show, and I really need to rely on my higher power for everything. And I'm really good at figuring things out. I think I am, but probably not in reality. But I was raised to be, you know, strong, independent woman. And so this is a big, you know, rewiring of my whole neural system to remember that I have a higher power. And it just helps me, you know, yesterday a couple of times I just said, thank you, God, or hi, God. Like, those are sometimes the best prayers for me, like, just to remember, oh, yeah, I'm not running the show. I have a higher power. Hi, God. Thank you, God. That's all I need to do, just to remember that I'm not alone and that I have a guide with me 24/7 for everything. It's just amazing. And I need to just relax a little to let in that that guidance. Thank you, and I pass. Next up is Reba K.
Hello, this is Reba K., compulsive overeater from Southern California. This is the first time I'm sharing on this line. It's really difficult for me to share, so I am trying to push myself forward in this program. I really appreciate very much hearing people's stories, not just about how they were successful in the program putting down the food, which I have not been able to do, but also talking personally about establishing their relationship with a God of their understanding. I love the program. I love all the steps. I don't have a problem personally with any of the steps, but I struggle mostly with the first three that go together. And I must admit that I don't have the experience that a lot of people do have, establishing a relationship with their personal higher power. I feel God's presence, but I don't turn to God enough. And I do mouth the words, but they seem hollow even to me. I really have difficulty turning my life over to the care and guidance of the God of my understanding. I think that I'm doing it, but I'm obviously not doing it. So I just wanted to participate and let everyone know how much I appreciate this call and the people who do service and the people who are gutsy and share, because I really think it helps and it makes a difference to those of us who are still struggling to put down the food. Thank you. That's all I have. Really appreciate all of you, and I pass.
Thank you, Reva K. Let's see. We've got time for probably three more folks.
Linnea B.
I have Linnea B.
Dawn B.
Dawn B.
Rhonda R.
All right, we'll stop there. So I have Linnea B., Dawn B., and Rhonda R., and then please share your location when you share. We'll start with Linnea B., followed by Dawn B.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Linnea, and I am a compulsive overeater. I can't say recovered yet because I haven't been through all the steps, but I am abstinent, which is, and not just abstinent with food, but more and more abstinent in my soul, in my heart. And the thing that just resonates with me in this paragraph is that it says that, you know, further on, there are clear-cut directions for how we recovered. You know, and I first came to OA in 1983 and have been in and out, mostly out, since then, and have lost hundreds of pounds, which is not an exaggeration, over that period of time. Lost and regained. And so when we read earlier about how we can pursue this obsession into the gates of insanity and death, I mean, that's how I was feeling one day and came to vision and became abstinent and got a sponsor, like, I think the second day, and began. So I always say, I think of that as being in a flood and God sending me a boat. So, you know, and then the people were so lovely who answer their phones and listen and share their experience, strength, and hope. But this idea that further on there are clear-cut directions. I have some recipes that were my great-grandmother's. And, you know, when I follow those recipes, I get what my great-grandmother got. Just amazing. When I follow directions, following these directions, I can get what they had, you know, which they describe as the most spectacular recoveries, but where they are now leading peaceful, contented, useful lives. What a promise. I'm so grateful for that. So grateful for that promise. And one day at a time, one moment at a time, I hope that my willingness and open-mindedness
and my courage. Stay with me, given to me by my higher power. I'll pass. Thank you. I'm in Minnesota.
Thank you, Linnea B. in Minnesota. Next up is Dawn B., followed by Rhonda R.
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered in Southern California. And such a privilege to be on this line and on this meeting. So how we established our relationships with our higher power, in our own words, from our own experiences. And I just wanted to share for myself personally how I practiced that in the very beginning. And this was before I had gone through the steps completely, back in the early days of establishing my relationship with my higher power. I practiced what they call, what the early 100, a lot of them practiced, was two-way prayer. And so what I would do, my version of that is, I would, in my readings, I would find a phrase, something that jumped out at me that kind of spoke to me, you know, some words, maybe it was live and let live, maybe it was you are loved, you know, whatever the phrase was. And I would write that at the top of my paper. And I would basically write a letter to God. And I'd start off by just saying, dear God, and I would write out, just pour out my heart to God. And I'd write my fears, and I'd write everything I was worried about. And after I got done with that, just pouring my heart out to God, I would visualize myself turning each one of those things over to God. So as I turned it over, I would even have a image of my mind, like, you know, going to the post office and putting a package on the counter and saying, here, you take it. And just, you know, visualizing my higher power just taking it, and now it's no longer in my hands. And just cross each one off the list as I went through. And it was just such a lovely thing to turn that over to my higher power. And then at the end, after I did that, I would ask myself the question. I would say, you know, if my higher power were to communicate directly to me regarding these issues, what might my higher power say to me? And then I would just open my mind and open my heart and just receive, you know, ask God to speak to me and not judge anything that came to my mind. I would just write it down, even if it seemed silly or whatever it was. I would just write it all down. And it was just such a powerful experience of hearing a power much greater than me who shocked me with how much I am loved and how much I am cared for and how much God wants to be there for me. It was just such a beautiful and powerful experience. So for me, that just really helped me. So it was my letters to God. You know, I'd make a special event of it, light a candle, and just sit down and have my paper there. I would buy a journal and a pen and just write it all down. Just pour out my heart to God, turn it all over, and then listen for God. And it was a beautiful, beautiful experience.
Time.
And thank you so much. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Dawn B. Next up is Rhonda R.
Thank you, Donna. This is Rhonda R. in Georgia. I think this is only the second time I've ever shared other than reading Steps or Traditions, but this topic is really speaking to me. I had lunch at someone's house this weekend. I don't really know her. I had met her a few times, and she wanted to know what I ate, if I had any limitations. All I could think of was I don't eat meat. That's kind of a stumper for people. Like I sometimes forget to tell them and then it causes some awkwardness. So during the meal, she was watching me, which was uncomfortable. And she said, oh, I see you don't eat carbs. What kind of diet are you on? And it just really gave me pause because I don't consider that I'm on a quote diet. It's been an evolution, and that's what I told her. It's just been an evolution. I gave up this, you know, when I was X years old and that and this and that. And anyway, it's great to hear the focus off of food and weight and on my relationship with my higher power. That's what I've been exploring lately with my sponsor, and that's why I keep coming back. It feels like my recovery has been and is an ongoing evolution. It did start with kind of the nuts and bolts. Oh, I want to lose weight. I want to give up this and that, but it's grown way beyond that. And so I keep coming back because it's a wonderful spiritual program. It reminds me of spiritual principles and to be of service. This has helped me so much connect to God, and not only has to connect, but gave me my higher power. That's what it started with when I first got into recovery. So thank you all, and I will pass.
Thank you, Rhonda R. It looks like we have time for one more 3-minute share. Mary B. Go ahead, Mary.
All right. Thank you so much. Good morning, my fellows. This is Mary B. here in the beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. Grateful, recovered, but not cured, compulsive overeater. Wow. What a great, great paragraph. What a wonderful topic. Thank you so much for your shares. Yeah, you know, we all have our roads we got to take. And I was raised with a punishing God, a God who was up in the heavens with a clipboard, long white beard, you know, and he's checking off a red mic and a red marker every time I make some kind of mistake. So by the time 31 years old, I got to the doors of the 12-step program, I thought God and I were enemies, absolute enemies. And why would he be concerned about my little eating disorder anyway? You know, he's got bigger fish to fry out there in the world, bigger problems. And I have since been corrected in that he does care. He knows how many hairs are on my head. Do you know how many lifetimes it would take me to count how many hairs are on my head? He's an amazing, loving, caring, providing, loves me unconditionally, thinks I'm greater than sliced bread, excuse the expression. And he loves me just the way I am, all my faults. And believe me, girls and boys, I got a lot of them that him and I are still working on. And he presents me with loving, kind people in this program to work with, to make outreach calls, to make 10 steps. I can't say enough about what my higher power has done for me. And once again, Bill brings it to light for us because Bill knew we needed. We needed to hear how other people found their higher power because I had no idea. I was clueless when I got here. And I, too, came for the vanity estate for the sanity. This is an amazing program. Welcome to the newcomers. Welcome to the people that are still struggling. Just keep coming back. If it can work for a schlemiel like me, if I can get recovered, then you can get recovered. That's a guarantee. That's a promise. Get a sponsor. Work the steps. Do what you got to do. Let it go already. Stop torturing yourself because that's what we did. Our disease is a homemade torture chamber. I don't want to live like that anymore, and I don't have to live like that anymore. Thank you for allowing me to share. Love to all, and I pass.
Thank you, Mary. Amen. All right. Now it's time to close our meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And let's see, I have Reggie O. Please read page 164, A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hey, thank you, Donna W., for your service today and everyone. My name is Reggie O., gratefully recovered here in Texas today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.